This week's episode of Behind the Billboard is sponsored by Bauer Media Outdoor.
Hubert.
Daniel.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Feels like it's been a while.
I know it has.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. And can I just say, resurgent, my team. I'm resurgent.
Resurgent. You're talking about United.
Three wins and a bounce, just saying. Yeah. That bloke who's not going to cut his hair.
Is it three? No, hold on a second. Didn't he have a draw on the weekend?
I wasn't going to mention that.
He can't cut his hair.
Three wins on a bounce and a draw at Forest. We should have won in the last minute. How's your team doing? I think you're still in the top five somewhere.
It's like 2 points cover at the moment. Yeah. You know, not dating this podcast because it will probably be in the bottom half by the time this goes out. But
yeah, well, anyway, let's move on. Like,
there's a great quote that I use all the time at home for my 11-year-old, who thinks it's hilarious, from Gattuso when he was managing, I think he was managing AC Milan, when he said this in the Champions League post-match press conference, and he was really angry about the game. Obviously AC Milan lost or something. Sometimes it's gonna be good, sometimes it may be shit. Well, that feels like Spurs.
That's so good.
Have you not seen that clip?
No,
I'll put it on the feed.
But there's also
this,
Boris Becker, you know, when they're going and he said, nobody died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because he lost the tennis match.
It's only football.
Yeah. Okay, so, football. Yeah, it is anyway, only football, thankfully.
So, today we have your mate.
My mate.
Actually, my mate.
No, actually, ultimately, it is both our mates. It's Pete Hayes. So, Pete is a wonderful man, a very talented creator, very brilliant creative director, a guy who's done so much good work, very popular in the business, super smart. I've been trying to get Pete for a while.
I've done loads of them over the years.
Yeah, actually, you and Pete and Grand Visual, I hope you recognise each other when you see each other. I don't know.
From all the way through his career, pretty much.
C1 Want One, and then there's some Marmite work, I think.
There's McDonald's.
Lots. Yeah, quite a lot of
McDonald's.
So, no, it's going to be good getting Pete in. So, looking forward to seeing him.
Good. Have we got a powerful poster submission?
We have.
We have.
It's a goodie.
Oh, it's a goodie. Let's get it in. Listen up.
Hi, Dan and Hugh. This is Kelly, Head of Design at Bauer Media Outdoor. For me, a powerful poster is one that stops you in your tracks and gives you that little tingle inside. And creatives are getting better and better at this. Some brands like Heinz, Pepsi Max, and B&Q, to name a few, are nailing it time and time again. So it was really hard for me to choose just one. But as a relatively new mum, I couldn't ignore Pampers. When I saw that super zoomed in shot of a baby's nose and slightly squished up mouth from laying on their chubby little cheek with a bit of drivel leaking out, it instantly reminded me of my daughter. Maybe that doesn't sound so great. If you haven't seen it, though, the ads portray close-ups of sleeping babies with the Pampers logo tailed off with numerous Zs, signalling that their nappies help babies sleep. It plays perfectly on parents' emotions, such as mine, and if you know, you know. When an ad tells you everything with just a photo and their logo, for me, it doesn't get more powerful than that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So great, that segment, isn't it? I love hearing from different people as well. It's nice to hear from our friends at Bauer Media.
Yeah, I think that it's a really good addition to the show. I really love it. I mean, obviously, you know, they're our sponsor now, but I think they're bringing quite a lot to the party,
nice to hear from, you know, we do this all the time. We obviously, people reach out to us on social and through the form on our website, but having a regular thing like that where we're out, it's a bit of outreach and it's not just our opinion on what is a good poster, which we always do every year with our Christmas special. This is from the community and it's people seeing it in real life. You know, these are real campaigns on the streets. So it's good.
It's lovely to hear. It's a great feature. You know, looking forward to much more of these.
And we've got loads more to come with Pete coming on. So go on, top.
Yeah, okay.
Go put the kettle on.
Go and get him. Pete Hayes, multi-award-winning creative and creative director, top Northern lad and United fan. Yes. Welcome behind the billboard.
Thank you.
Did you listen to our Manchester special a while back?
No.
We recorded the day before the Europa Cup final, so Hugh and I were up in Manchester with our
anyway, moving
our football
on.
Shirts on.
Yeah, I don't remember the Europa Cup final.
The final.
It was so bad, wasn't it? So bad.
Actually, it does.
I can't remember, so stop talking about it.
Okay, yeah. It didn't happen.
Pete, thanks for coming on. We know you're super busy at Atomic with John Cherry and the gang. Say hello from us and Miles as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is Claudia still there? Or just but yeah, thanks for coming on. So before we get into it, we're going to do the Pete facts.
Pete facts.
Pete facts. Yeah. So you can leave the room if you want.
The
so
good ones. Yeah.
Pete has worked in the business for over 30 years at some of the very best agencies around, including DDB and Leo Burnett. Pete's won awards for his work on huge brands such as McDonald's, VW, Marmite, Harvey Nichols, and loads more. I was told this the other day. Pete is talked about often as the nicest man in the business.
Nicest.
Have you been speaking to my mum again? She just called me before we came on air.
Yeah. And then I got a fun Pete fact. Ooh, I didn't know this. No. Started life as a media planner on P&G.
How did you find that out?
Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
Wow. Leo Burnett Media.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So, Pete, how are you?
How long did that last?
Only about the time it took for me to escape as fast as possible, because I never saw any advertising.
Were you knocking on every door in the building?
I was disappearing down the creative department. I spoke to Zane and Mike and go,
any jobs going?
They said, go to Watford, you'll be safe.
It's pretty bad, though, because it must have made you ultimately a more rounded advertising person, having done that.
Well, I think it's interesting. Tony, I ended up, because of that, I went to Watford. Oh. Mike and Zane at Leo Burnett said, go to Watford, did the application and managed to get in, thank God, in 1996, I think.
Yeah.
I think one thing, you know, you've heard all the people you've had before, Simcat were on the other time, yeah. Lovely, and obviously they're fresh out of Tony's.
Yes, well, the barn, isn't it?
Womb. Yeah. You know, they're amazing in the barn, and Tony believed in not having people who, at the time, talked about not having people who were just like fresh out of college. You wanted to have some life about you and lived. For me, I went to university. Amazingly, you wouldn't believe it. Geography. So if you need to talk about rivers, we're on.
Rivers special.
And
cloud formation.
At sea level rise, another one, quite relevant. And then I lived in Spain for a couple of years and learned Spanish with my now wife, and then actually came back and didn't know what the fuck to do, and ended up, my dad said, get into advertising, get in any job. So unfortunately, my wife had a contact in the media department, so I wanted to write adverts, but I ended up there. So
that's great.
So yeah, life's a journey. So, but you know, it's stepping stones. But I think the thing Tony always said was, if you're full of lots of life experience, and not a blank sheet, like you've just come fresh from growing up into this, then that can help this job. And I think
we had. We are going to stay on track. But when I joined, my mate Johnny Benton Hughes, he was an estate agent for 5 years. He got on the course, and he's really good. Wow. Very good. And there was another lad who was a banker. Who came on, and that I think you're right, is as long as you've lived and you've got that aptitude to want to be creative, then that's
life experience just helps the creativity
totally. Because if you've got nothing in the can, right, Pete? So,
just in terms of what you've been up to recently, obviously, you spent a fair chunk of your career with DDB. We saw the news on the DDB name. Any thoughts?
I had three stints with Matt, my creative partner of 20 years, fantastic years. And I, you know, in the early 2000s, I was there in 97, which was ridiculous, 2000, amazing, and then back for a couple of years, and then the merger with Adam and Eve, which really, you know, saved DDB. Oh, sorry, everyone who heard that, but I think look where it's got to. My feeling about DDB is, it's a sad time, change is permanent, these things happen. I've got lovely fond memories of the place. Adam and Eve is Adam and Eve. I don't think it's DDB as the core of DDB. DDB were amazing clearly throughout the 60s. You know, I've got all the books, which will now be more valuable because they've died, is nice. But
that's a good point.
But I think for me, it's almost like a death. Or a loss. And I think with things like people passing or anything passing in life, you know, you lament, you reflect, you feel fond and warm about the great things, you laugh about the daft things, and then maybe, you know, you leave and you sort of go, well, what have we got to take out of that? You know, if it's somebody, you learn from them, don't you? And you carry that with you. And I think DDB going, for me, you could look at it and go, well, what was it all about, really? And I think Birnbach brought humanity to advertising, and narrative and stories and human connection. And it's quite interesting, you could say, is that, you know, not directly to advertising per se, but I think look at the world we're now living in with AI is on the charge, and we probably, many of us feel out of control and whatever. And I think probably the next part of that journey, or what's going to be the yin yang, the perfect balance of that technology in life, is will be humans mm-hmm. and humanity. So I think, because we need it. So Birnbach knew that advertising needed it. It affects people's emotions, and they connect, and they act, and I think the same will be with AI. At the moment, it's a function that we see and know it's a machine. Then what? How is it going to affect our lives? Mm. And what's in it for us?
Yeah.
And I think that'll be the question.
Can you?
It's a bit of a tenuous link, but isn't
no, I quite like,
it's
something
there.
If you could distill that down, write it on a LinkedIn post, and then get another 1,000 responses going, well, what I think.
Yes.
But no, I mean, joking aside, that is a really, that's really interesting, because you've not, you know, from your point of view, you've not gone, oh, it's fucking AI's problem, or it's a network issue or whatever like that. You've just gone, look, in the future, it's got to sit together if it's going to work.
Change is permanent, isn't it? And we all lament the things and people passing, and also DDB, it's clearly just a passage of time. It probably does not, what it was yesterday is way away from what it started as.
Yeah, yeah.
It's grown into some monolithic massive machine for Omnicom. And
these big, you know, the big holdcos like Omnicom and WPP, they have reasons for changing their agency makeup, like, consolidating production departments and agencies and merging names. It's obviously financial. That's the way that they work, right? They, they're, like you said, change is permanent. And we can romanticize about the glory days of DDB, but obviously...
What are they going to be... Sorry, we won't... We'll get onto your work in a minute, but what are they going to be called?
I don't know. If you don't want to.
DDB. And are they... It's surely all the merchandise is going to cost a fortune and changing everything.
Like, is that what you want to do?
You know, like DDB...
Like all the T-shirts.
Oh, no, redoing a fucking web... Oh, God, my brain can't even
There'll be a section on the spreadsheet from Omnicom that's covered that.
Rebranding,
So, but at the moment, Pete, so just to get up to date, you're in Atomic, right?
I am.
Yeah, and how's that? Is it good?
It's great, actually. Great. You know, it's a good UK independent agency, burgeoning, really, I think, at the moment.
Yeah.
I am there because basically I helped them work on the Ladbrokes pitch,
right,
which we won. And,
brilliant,
you know, testament to them, you know, they got me back in to do the work, which sometimes you do a pitch, you never hear the, you know, you disappear because you've done your function as a contractor or freelancer. Yeah. And they got me in, and it was a hell of a ride because we had no time to make a lot of work. Mm. Right. That satisfaction is the platform. We're currently writing the next work, which they've asked me to stay on and help with, which is fantastic. So I'm really enjoying it. It's they're good souls. They came from DDB, funnily enough, originally.
Right.
And I think there's an element of that. You know, their chairman is Nick Fox, who was deeply ingrained in DDB back in the day when it was DDB, not even BMP DDB.
Yeah, right. Where did Needham, I always wonder,
what was
Needham?
I think that was a Keith Reinhart agency in the States that they bought, and Keith Reinhart ended up at the global emeritus,
you know,
king of the
is.
World.
This role. Is Mastermind, your special subject. DDB, DDB, Needham, BMP. Yeah. See, if Dave Dye was here, you didn't pass on any subject.
I'm not bad. I thought it was quite impressive.
Tell you what, that is pretty good.
He wrote I'm Loving It. So I hope he did, because I remember it.
Right, we're going to move on. We're going to get to...
Your first billboard.
No, we're going to go to the end of the street first.
Oh, we're going to go to... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Solly.
What would our sponsors say, Dan?
So, the billboard at the end of my street is sponsored by Super Optimal.
Super Optimal, thank you very much. So I walked down my high street to my high street, West Ealing High Street. I don't recommend it to you, but if you carry on to Hamwell, that's a bit nicer. But and lo and behold, I looked up at the billboard outside the pub, the old hat, and... there was a British Airways post.
Well, anyway, I was thinking it'd be on fun, but
I think Clear Channel have pushed me into talking directly, as it says on that billboard, to talk directly about.
They're in the process of updating all of their little tags. Clear Channel are now Bauer Media Outdoor.
Who sponsor this show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pete, I'm joking aside, because this is, we don't want the whole episode to be about no logo ads or whatever, but what do you think? What's your vibe? Because I...
Well...
Yeah. It's not going to go
well. I've been so busy, I haven't... I'm trying not to look at LinkedIn too much. So I gather there's been rather a lot of comments about it, and it may have taken a lot of flack.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of people who like it and a lot of people who don't like it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, I mean, instead of... I'm going to give you my answer, but I'm going to just quickly walk through it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You've got time to do that. Absolutely. And I think if you take a step back, you've got to ask yourself where the work came from. So really, if you look at the work, the proposition for the work, as we work, is like, you know, BA takes you all around the world, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
That's probably what the proposition was, which is a generic proposition, right?
Yeah.
So as a creative, you know it's got to be fucking good, right? Because it's a generic proposition. You've got to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't. The proposition didn't say you'll be surprised where BA go to, would you? Which you might be. You'd like, oh right, I'll learn something from this.
Right.
So it's a challenging brief. And at the moment, I look at the work. I'll be really honest with you. And the solution to the work is BA takes you to islands, deserts,
right,
and London. Or when you look out of our plane, that's what you see. And I haven't learned anything.
Right.
When I look at that.
So did you prefer, or do you have a point of view, say, on the first work from Uncommon, you know, the business pleasure other, the listing?
I think a lot of that.
Did that have more, there was more reasons to fly rather than just looking out the window?
Yeah. I mean, this is a brand campaign, isn't it? So, but I don't think it's, for me, you know, I just think... I think those campaigns are brilliant. I don't question Uncommon, but I'm getting into a...
No.
I may leave this room not being liked by Uncommon my comments, but I think all you have is a clear way. The logo thing for me, just so you know, is I feel like it's an art directional device, so you don't actually have to have the logo. And so it's very clever. But if you strip that away and then look at the idea, I'm going BA fly to a desert,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. That's why I don't think there's a reward in it. There's nothing for me to get, and it's not telling me anything new.
Whereas the joy of the work looking out the window,
there was a human reaction.
Yeah,
funnily enough, Bill Burnback. There we go. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a human reaction.
Yep.
And wonderment. Again, that wasn't logo-less.
You can fill in the blanks. I wonder what they're looking at. They're taking you to a place
related to the wonderment when I flew over Sicily a couple of months ago and I looked down and go, oh, fucking hell, where's Etna? And you're like, that's great. And there's a connection there. And whereas this one, I just, So really,
it's interesting.
I admire the intention.
Yeah.
I admire but I do think the logo thing is an art directional thing. Because you have to strip it back and go, why is it there? And I think if it was me, I mean, I'm sorry, Uncommon, but I'm out.
Mm. But I think as a body of work, it's really interesting. I love
totally.
It. As a body of work, you go from the first bit, the 500 stuff. We did a special on it, which we loved.
Amazing.
And I looked at those. I suppose it's hard because excuse the pun, it's just landed this campaign and everyone's going, what's it like? You know, maybe in a year's time you look back and go, oh, because I still feel about the 500 ones when it goes, because I'm out of remission or something like that. You go, fucking hell, that's clever.
Yeah, the reason that's the fly is great. Fly. So everyone flies for a different reason.
Yeah, yeah. So I found the enormity of that thing. Fuck, how are you going to beat that?
Mm.
And then when the kid looking out the window, like you're saying, going, oh, great. Mm. And then there's this, which is sort of the flip, isn't it? It's what the kid's seeing. But it's sort of, like you said, or you can't remember, you don't have to fill in so much. Do you? Because the other one, you're going, oh, right, I wonder what they're looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't got a clue to take away anything other than BA fly over deserts. So, I mean, you know, that's the challenge. But I agree with you. I think the intention and ambition of Uncommon with BA has been fantastic.
Yeah.
They've done some brilliant things.
I mean, I think...
I think this one, it's caught in controversy because I don't think it's clear what it's saying.
Yeah.
And posters are ruthless.
Yeah. I wonder if they're the sort of little bit the victims of their own success because the bar's pretty high and they're going, right. I mean, it's a testament we're talking about. You know, the first thing, rule of advertising is get noticed. So it has been noticed.
Get noticed by the industry.
Yeah. I wonder what the punters feel about this. Let's go onto the streets.
Print it out. Let's go out to the streets of Soho now.
Let's go to your first billboard, Pete.
Obviously, this isn't true. Like everyone who comes on your show, Matt and I used to joke about this.
Oh,
yeah, I did. Guinness Surfer was my first TV. You know, going, yeah,
do you
right,
mean
okay.
to say our guests are crafting their first billboards as to make themselves look good?
As long as it's been said, everyone has to believe it. Instead, you dig down and go, no, they haven't. They've done this, this, this.
So that's it. They're using our podcast as a platform yeah. when they go on other people's podcasts. So what was your first billboard? Well, as I said, on Behind the Billboard, which gives it some credence.
Yeah. Well, I was at, Matt and I started, we I did this placement at BNP for months, and then Dave Waters hooked us up to get a job at, Rich Flintham hooked us up to get a job at Ducker Finn. We had a brilliant time, fantastic little agency, UK agency, got us involved in production there and made lots of ads. Dayu was one of their big clients. That'll be the Dayu, sort of the structure of, 40,000 mile servicing, That'll be the day. So what, there's a really slick line and a great thing to put your teeth on.
The biggest advertising space in England.
So what I'm talking about, Hugh, yes, is Matt and I wrote a poster.
Is that
which managed to go on Fort Dunlop. So if you're online now, look at Fort Dunlop in Birmingham by the M6.
But it's not, you can't buy it anymore, can you?
No, you can't buy it anymore. But at the time, back, you know, when wheels were square and we all, you know, and things like that, when, you know, there was no interweb.
So you have mocked this up yourself?
I've had to mock it up because we didn't have cameras then. Yeah. It was invented.
It's really hard to even find, because this is where Beckham was, cometh the hour. And it's really fucking hard to get that shot. There's one with a lorry in the foreground, and that's the only one.
There's the lorries in the foreground. You might find behind that is cometh the hour, but I had to mock it up because that's what did run.
And this is before shot on iPhone. It's shot on medium format Hasselblad.
Yeah. Well, obviously you can imagine because it was next to the M6. I got my mum and dad down and said,
idea.
"Come and see this poster because I wanted to show them."
Because it's the biggest.
So we
one
pulled over on the M6
in the hard shoulder.
Put the luminous coats on. And I stood there going, "I did that."
So it says services. 40,000 miles. It's very funny.
So mocking a service station sign.
It's good. It's really
hook,
good.
And then it's just 40,000 miles.
You could run
free servicing. That'll be the day. So very simple.
Very good.
I still think that'll be the day.
What
really
was your actual first one then?
That's it.
Oh, I've got it.
No. He's already admitted to
it.
Lying.
Maybe didn't. I don't know if it did run over post.
We'll
I think it ran as an install.
We'll cut this bit of the show out
no,
so
won't.
You don't worry.
No, I can remember.
John, leave it in.
Matt and I were always pleased with the headline. We're a placement just left Watford. We were at a little agency on Marshall Street and it was for Summerfield, which was a supermarket. And it was for the meat selection in the summer. And the headline was Grill Our Butcher on Your Barbecue.
Oh,
hey.
Works. Mm? What would Tony say about that?
He like I think he'd like. Is that a pun?
Sort of play on words.
Plain words.
It's not a pun, it's a play on words.
I don't do puns.
No.
Good. I like that.
We're going to go to DDB, though. We're going to go back to DDB, where you were started, and we're going to go to VW, which is brilliant in a way because VW is the absolute epitome of, you know, what DDB were about. So I think this is very appropriate. I can't say the name of this car, Pete.
Tuareg.
Are you sure?
An African tribe, I believe.
Tuareg. So these are brilliant. I love these. I've always wanted to talk about these. But they're just emphasising the fact that the thing's kind of goes off-road, right? Is that...
Product points delivered. With an end line, yeah.
Sorry. Tell us how you got to this, because there's one with a fish, which is my absolute favourite. There's a fish in the grill, and it just says, you know, 580 millimetres wading depth, 4x4 Tuareg. So Tuareg. Tuareg?
4x4 Tuareg. Equals Tuareg. You. Good end line.
4x4 equals Tuareg. Sorry. Can you get him told off?
Well, I thought it was good. So did Matt. So did Jeremy. But I think for this project, you know, it's a fantastic four-wheel drive car. It had product points. So really in classic DDB style, you would execute the idea, execute the product points and dramatise in very simple ways around the product. And why do I love these two? In making them was lovely. Charles Revel shot them, who's exceptional photographer. Probably did a 90,000-part comp on the fish. And I think we argued about what fish it should be.
What fish, what did you debate? Was it?
I think so. I think we went through the list
salmon.
But then you have that elegant salmon leap with the bears, don't you? And
right.
It felt like that would jam itself in.
Yeah.
So that's why the shape.
I have to ask, so what... How was there a model maker? How did it work with the fish?
It's posted in.
It's posted in totally. It's not even, it wasn't some sort of No. Fun thing you could play with.
Should I just say yes? And we just call it the magic of advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think why I like them, you know, it was simple messages, 48 millimeter wade in depth, so a fish had got stuck in the grill, 45 degree climbing ability. It's an amazing car at the time, you know, it's competing against Land Rover.
Yeah.
So the shirt hanging in the back, hanging at 45 degrees, so the, and then adjustable ride heights, so the gag that you're washing a muddy car, especially a four-wheel drive, so they couldn't reach the top of the car, hence you leave mud at the top. So really simple graphical ideas. The sponge is key because it just hooks you in.
I remember at the time I was working at BBH on Audi, and we always used to talk about these ads and these type of ads. VW did so well. They showed the car, like the small businessman.
Yeah.
Just his head, you know, and you're going, fuck, because at Audi were going, show the car.
Yeah.
Show the car. And then you'd show, you know, you'd do something with the car, and then people go, oh, that's
it's a VW.
It's a bit VW. Yeah. Going, yeah, I know. But, you know, these are wonderful. And how was Giles? Did you sort of collaborate or were there?
Giles is a wonderful human being, an incredibly talented human being. If anyone's worked with him, they will totally understand, sort of totally detail madness, and I'd urge you to check out his work. And he just went into it. And
but did you, were your layouts park. I'm always fascinated when
the layouts were the same,
were they?
Pretty much. I think I had a bucket in the and a sponge, so we didn't have to put the bucket in. No, the layouts were this.
It's great
when you used to scamp cars up with my pencil, leaving it. So yeah, it's just a it's quite relevant for DDB because they're classic Volkswagen ads from a DDB London agency.
We're going to go to the Red Brick Road now.
Yeah.
Where you and Matt worked on Magnus.
We did.
Magnus Cider.
Yeah.
So this features work of, how do you say his name? Noma Bar.
Noma Bar, yeah.
Noma Bar. So spotted his work is everywhere now, but you were the first ones to use him.
Yeah, he'd done.
How did that come?
We got to know about him, I think, probably, I remember speaking to people at Art Buying at DDB. Prior to this, and basically he was a graphic designer who is, he's got a very famous, well, not a famous book, it's not the Bible, but you know, it's like called Negative Space, and brilliant graphic ideas, and he would do the graphic ideas. He did a lot of the Guide magazine for the Guardian front covers, and they're really smart, and you'll see them all in there. And yeah, the idea of doing visual play and
all illustrative
graphical on a computer. Sorry, that sounds weird, isn't it? On a computer. But, you know, so just really graphical ideas. We'd talk to him, brief him, maybe we're thinking this. It was a proper collaboration, to be fair. I think we should be clear that, you know, he'd come up with more ideas, and some of the ideas we executed were actually his visual thoughts from our conversations. And again, weirdly, when you look at this work, you know, you've got a splash of apples with 17 apples coming out of it as the splooshes in the thing, which I think Thatcher's now use.
Right.
If you watch one of their adverts, you'll see it. Just to go back a step, and there's method in the Magnus campaign. We won it. We did a lot of TV that was very popular, and we did these posters as well. The idea at the time was people thought Magnus, because it's so orange, was chemicals.
Right.
It was very, very popular with Icy, but there was a thing to do about. So basically, we needed, our pitch was to go into telling people what actually makes the drink, because it's actually made properly. Like they.
Right.
So we did that, and then we did product points ads. So even the TV ads were someone who goes from A to B because we get the apples to the press as fast as possible, so you drove over a golf course and all this daft stuff.
Can I just make an observation that this one that we're looking at says 17 varieties of apple in every drop.
Have you just counted the apples?
Well, not just that, but one of our most previous guests, Ajab Singh, brought in about 17 varieties of apple from his orchard.
And we told him to make cider, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, you were right.
No joking. He came in with, I had a crumble. Sorry, we're going off slightly, but made a crumble the other day with different varieties of apple.
Well, you've got to be careful. I think it was at the Dabinet or something. Some of them are sour as hell. But the place profile, which I learned by going to the Magnus factory, should I know, to get us back on track.
Yeah. You. Factory visit time.
Me.
Yeah. Well, back to my crumble. These are lovely. I mean, I love stuff like this. The sort of stuff,
you can just, it's a joy to do illustration. There's photography, illustration, so craft. And, you know, I was never a natural art director, but you know, both Matt and I were writers, and I had to learn to art direct, really, because Matt couldn't draw and I couldn't draw. I was just better in a bad way.
Right.
And so learning craft has been a joy of my career as an art director.
With the brief to Noam Abar on this, did you have the lines? Right, we're matured in the dark for a fresher flavour, and sit with him and go, right, how are we going to bring the apple to life?
Yes, so we would come up with concepts, we'd scamp them up, little sketches, and then have a chat with him, and then he'd go away and sort of add some thoughts. It was a collaborative process.
Nice.
Even back in those days, we were having collabs.
I love when it's collaborative. It's
probably 2010.
The quicker we press the apples, the fresher the juice. So nice.
Yeah. And those messages were in the telly, so it was it was backing it up. No, it's fun.
Method and the Magnus is a great line, isn't it? I remember the TV. I really like TV. It's funny.
The shot by magnifying glass is really nice as well.
Mr. Zacharias.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to love and hate Christmas lights now.
I love this campaign for obvious reasons.
I was thinking about this morning or last night. I can't remember. I don't know if you... Have you got kids, haven't you?
I have.
Did they...
Adults.
How old were they when... You didn't spoil Christmas for them, by
I
going,
took them down.
Did you take them down? Yeah. Good.
Yeah, lad. Spoiled Christmas by showing a what do you call them? Throwing up in his.
I know.
Yeah,
I was thinking, like, I wonder what they would have said. Like, that's not something to be proud of, Dad.
I think they'd have laughed.
So how did it happen? Because, like you say, and you dropped us an email the other day. We're just chatting about your work and saying it's not often you get. I mean, that's quite a big deal, that, to do the Christmas light.
It was a fucking massive deal, really. And, you know, Matt and I were creative directing Marmite overall. We did a big TV ad at the end of it. But basically, this gold product, and they decided we want to promote it at Christmas and had this budget. Rob and Mike, obviously at Apple and probably retired now, I hope.
Yes,
skiing or something.
Right, we've never had Rob Messiter and Mike.
Crow.
Thank you.
Fantastic, lads. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, we're going to do the Christmas lights. And the client who's incredibly ambitious, Unilever, obviously, at the time, you know, but he was a hot shop client of the time.
Right.
And he was incredibly ambitious. And we said, well, we would like to do the Christmas lights. Somewhere someone had been pitched it as an idea. And you're going, Marmite, Christmas lights. And let's have a go. So then, this sort of audacious. So Mike disappeared to Portugal to see some metalwork guys who were building all the things that they brought over on a ship. And
then it ended up in some trading estate in Shepperton.
It did not.
It did. And that's where we tested the LED screen, because we did all of the back end on the creative technology.
You're not the bloke who...
He's the man. I'm now sitting, I need to...
Yeah.
Should I get on one knee? Well, you made it happen. Dan's it was brilliant. Awesome.
So we were...
It was brilliant.
Tribal did all the Facebook
bit. We should do more work together.
Yeah. Tribal did all the Facebook bit, the Facebook integration.
Right.
And then we did all of the... So Grand Visual days, we did all of the integration between the face... People could nominate a time where they put their love it or hate it face up through Facebook.
Oh, God, there was a thing on... Yes, we posted it up to Facebook.
And
yes,
then it
now
went
I remember.
Direct integration to our machine that was sitting on the top of John Lewis, played
brilliant.
Out back
That's
through
right.
the screen on the Marmite crossing. And then that triggered a webcam to take a photo That's of right. your face on the Christmas lights.
Brilliant.
And sent it back through Facebook and tagged them in the photo.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
I remember there was a photo, there's a booth on the street.
And then there was also an interactive D6 on the street in the bus stop.
That's right.
Opposite,
you could have your face on
Oxford
Street.
You could do your photo there, and it it would be instant.
How modern of us, even then.
This was.
You're ahead of the game, guys.
2010? No.
2013, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think we went back to DDB then. But the point being, it was mental. I mean, Robbie Williams turned on the lights.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just to clarify, there's Oxford Street. And there's Regent Street, and there's different sets, isn't there? So
yeah, this was the Oxford
brands.
Street outside John Lewis.
Oh,
we were on the roof of John
right,
Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but it was wicked. And he's just like, everyone talks about different shapes and work and whatever. It is outdoor, because it's outdoor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
and
brilliant.
Millions of people saw it in footfall, and it got a lot of comments.
I think it won at Cannes as well. You've got something at Cannes.
Should we just say it did?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, it cleaned up, isn't it? Sort of cleaned up.
I think it didn't get a gold, which Marmite gold, but it should have done.
It's amazing.
It's definitely
that
silver,
it's
I think.
Still, I mean, I imagine this was like mid, you know, the campaign, and now it's still going strong. Love it, hate it. It's just.
It's not even mid, Hugh, really. I mean, Rich and Andy wrote that line in 96.
So I never knew this.
Yeah.
Do you know the why? Because one of them liked it and one of them hated it. Yeah. And that's where it came from.
Well, there's a truism on the brief as a fact, but not the brief. And then they were like, yeah, I like it. You love it. They observed that. And then they look on the brief. It says, you know, it's a weird product. It polarizes everyone because some people like it, some people don't. And they go, well, that's when briefs, you know, there's good insights in them and they were pure and simple. And that hit the words that inspired the creators. Well, how about we just create a narrative in society and off you go? And
it's brilliant, isn't it? They're still now, isn't it? They're still finding ways of.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant. DDB, Adam and Eve have done some great work. We, you know, and through time, it's one of those things like Christ, it's got to be good. It's Marmite, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's all you want, isn't it?
I'm going to look through very quickly through my photos to see if I can find the test.
Wow.
Do you know what's a bit weird is on the way here.
You still got the same phone from them.
The beauty of the cloud,
the brick.
I saw a Christmas light thing on Great Pulteney Street.
Yeah.
Not lit up. It's just, they must have getting just
ready.
Put them, yeah,
getting yeah,
ready.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
must have done that, what, pretty early in a year? Or how late were you towards?
I think it goes at like start of November. Right. So it was a kick bollock scramble. I remember Mike was out in. Doing all these welders, doing all this stuff, and you go, "What have we created? You know, what are you doing?" And Mike has ever took the opportunity to go to Portugal and see them making it, and probably spent a week.
That's a job, isn't it? Getting paid for that,
pleasuring himself.
We think this was Christmas. Oh, what's this?
While Dan is going back in time, we're going to start McDonald's because there's a lot to go through.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at I'm on my notes. It says. TBWA Paris, and I'm thinking, what? And then it's a massive burger.
Yeah.
Pete, tell us.
Okay. So, yes, I think that, well,
I think
I was running McDonald's for 8 years, and obviously it was fantastic.
But not a TBWA at Leah Burnett.
No, at Leah
okay,
Burnett.
Come on.
Now, why I put this picture up there was I think many people don't know about this poster. And I knew, and Matt knew, and anyone who's at Leah Burnett, because they had to listen to me droning on about it, was this poster was a cropped-in visual of a Big Mac, 2013, TBWA Paris, where they're very quickly at Leo's going, that's fucking brilliant, it's so brave.
Yeah.
And also the context of it was, in France, they were putting it up in the countryside.
Right.
And there was a whole narrative the strategy for it was behind it, I believe... Hopefully I'm right, but I think this is right because I went on holiday and saw one in a French village when I was going to the Dordogne or something to borrow someone's house.
Yeah.
I don't own one. And, it was like the strategy was that young people are bored of eating French slow food and slurping wine and actually they want the bright lights in the big city. So the idea was to take this iconic products and put them up on, you know, old fucking barns in the middle of nowhere in France and go, this is the future. And you're just looking at it going, so that was the strategy. But then you just look at it going, well, it's obviously a Big Mac.
Yeah.
And why do I put it up? Is because there's been a lot of conversations about no logo work. And it's not a new thing. And I think sometimes
when you've got an iconic product, you can get away with it, right?
Sometimes I've read those things going, should I start? No. No, don't, Pete. You know, don't get involved. But, you know, like, I know, I can tell you this. But really, the truth is, I think ads without logos aren't you. And I think exactly what you say, Dan, is when you've got a recognisable asset, a product that everybody knows, you're in the area where you don't need a logo. Right. And I think all ad people really know this. You know, through time, you'll have looked at a print ad going, you'd put have a look at the scamp on the day and you put your thumb over the logo and go, I remember doing this with Matt, or Matt would do me, doesn't need a logo, does it? And then we go, client will never buy it. Take your thumb off and off you go again. So it has no reason to be that. It was a bit of a clever fest.
But I remember when Hermeti Ballerin came in, and I think it's not us older blokes, but if you've been around the block a bit, you go, oh yeah, you know, Silk Cut did it in fucking 80s. It's just the product, as in it's the name of the product.
Mm.
So it's not a new thing, like you say, but it is. It's become a thing because people haven't quite seen stuff like this and going, oh my God.
And obviously what's key and why we're talking about it is it's a thing about outdoor.
Yes.
In its simplest form, outdoor is like you've got nose time.
Yeah.
You need something, that's obviously, to use good. This now overused word iconic,
yeah.
But, you know, recognisable impact, relevance, And if you can, it has a cleverness if you don't need to put the logo, but people know what it is.
Yeah.
And there's brand equity in that for the brand.
You've got an instant to get it. It's outdoor, right? You've got something else.
But in people's heads, you know, the long journey with brands, I think that increases the brand equity in people's heads going, they're quite smart, actually, I quite like them. But and I think that's the sort of thing that we all want to do with brands, don't we? Where you go, you as a brand aren't just like everyone.
Yeah.
You've actually got a bit of sparkle, and I think...
But there is also the thing about... So Hegarty was going on about BMW and put an ad up, and it's just quite lazy. It's just a picture of the car. There was nothing to see.
I saw that post.
And, you know, you can flip it and go, you do need to work a bit harder. You got to sell it to me. You know, don't just put a fucking car up or a burger or... You know, you can... I think you can make it work, the argument work both ways. But I think that thing about investing, if you invest in advertising over the years, after people will know your product.
But look at the, you know, there was a great poster, or I think it was a poster, but it may have been a print ad. I forgive you, but it could have been a poster.
Poster.
And it was a picture of a profile of a, I think it was Audi. It was a sports coupe. And in the corner of each one, it just said, pin goes here, goes here, pin goes here.
No, it was BMW. Derby Soros.
And you were just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so good, you'd put it on your wall. Yeah. You're like, that's fucking genius. Yeah. Now, so I shared this because really it's in the
really
advent of some logo-less work with McDonald's, I think it's always been a conversation in play with McDonald's and with those, because they have iconic assets that they can use. And I think brilliantly they've come... I mean, I was part of helping bring them, doing it for the right reasons. And I think it's continued with Leo's, you know, recently. And sometimes it's needed. So also what I did, Hugh, by the way, is look, I can see you click forward, is I then started messing around. So the work I provided you actually blacked out the logo just to be playful and show that it can work.
It can work, yeah.
You know what? I was looking at it last night thinking, that's fallen off. So let's move on. So we've got, I think we've got about four or five to go through.
Just before you do, I just found that, which was from the test.
Oh my
God. Oh God.
It's my face on the Marmite Christmas lights.
Oh, let me.
And that was probably sent to us.
Let me
to go. This is from the, you know, we were looking at it going, this is from last night. Yeah. This is the, and we go, some media bloke.
It was the test.
Some media wanker.
It was the idiots who were up all night on the roof of John Lewis
off
trying to make
as
it work.
Usual, the media lot.
So there you go.
Fond memories. That's great, isn't it? Amazing.
That was the...
You actually have, you do have
You can see, that was the
thing.
Robbie Williams opening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're in there somewhere. Yeah. I'm the one dressed as a dwarf. No,
an elf.
I'm not.
So we got about four or five. So we're going to talk about McDelivery.
Yep.
Lights on. So this is where the Golden Arch, or part of the Golden Arch, sort of reaches into homes, office flats. Super graphic, super simple, big award winner. Tell us about this, because it was Andrew Long and James Millers.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a weird one.
Yes.
For me, but an interesting one about life, in that, because I ran all the work at McDonald's went through me for quite a few years before I left. I was made redundant, and in COVID,
right.
But this work, what had happened was, what no one realises, it's a little bit of an insight, but before 2019, no agency could use the McDonald's logo as a creative vehicle. You couldn't use it.
Right.
It was barred. They had a global VI, visual identity, and you weren't allowed to use it. Then what happened in 2018 was Guy Moore. You've had Guy on, I think.
Yes, no, yeah, Guy.
And the directional signs for McDonald's.
That's the first time you talked about it.
Brilliant client on McDonald's in Canada.
Yeah.
Just said, screw this, I'm breaking all the rules. I like this work, we're running it. He shouldn't have done it. He was a naughty boy. He probably got his hand slapped by someone.
One Grand Prix.
Exactly. Yeah. Lucky. So I think then Turner Duckworth did the VI. Again, brilliant Turner Duckworth. And then that was briefed into the agency to do some, how can we bring the new work? But we always had a creative ambition project where we'd get to the start of the year, we'd present in January, and we'd share a suite of ideas that we wanted to do for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, because basically McDonald's is always on in posters, and a lot of them are like cheeseburger, 99p, well, now £4.99, isn't it? But it was 99p.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff, non-creative, should we say. Good looking, but non-creative.
Yeah.
And our ambition was, they had a shared ambition to have some creativity and some highlights, maybe win awards if we can. So this work, I approved this. James and Andy are brilliant. They did this. They were just starting to be CDs as well.
Right.
And basically I approved it, and then in January, and then it turns out that COVID happened. So for a whole year, the agency, 14 months, this work just sat there approved and ready to go. And right. then, brilliant. Well, COVID wasn't brilliant, was it?
No, no.
But the opportunity and the timing for them was, you know, you can go out. I then left the agency.
Yes.
Due to COVID. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then this work went up. So it's almost like announcing the brand back to the world. And I think delivery, perfect moment. So I think the stars aligned with this campaign. Yeah. I loved it. I think I said to them at the time, wouldn't it be great if we could try and make it that the arch, you could do it on the app. So the timer, you could use it as a timer to get to your house. And then we were talking about, well, could we do a graphical version of your house? And it was like, is that intrusion? You know, and you're like,
yeah,
create that this thing and turn it into something that you could actually use. Because, you know, your timing thing, yeah. like Deliveroo and all that. But it was fantastic. And I was incredibly proud of them and delighted for them and the agency, because it
was a huge campaign.
I
remember, because I didn't know that. So I remember thinking, it did look like perfect timing.
Step change.
You know, you go, COVID, stuck at home, let's get the stuff delivered.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a bit like when we had Felipe on Tesco's.
Yeah.
And he had the icons working and the bags, and it all looked seamless. He said, no, it was completely the other way around. We sold in one of the group, you know, and it's that ambition thing of, oh, we'll have this one on the burner and get this one away.
Yes.
It's never quite as you think.
And like Felipe would be saying, that's a big brand, you know, McDonald's, always on outdoor.
Yeah.
180 radio ads a year.
Yeah. Top 10 spender consistently.
200 million plus on media, I think. Probably, I don't know what it is now. Mm-hmm. 23 tele ads a year. You've got to make them all.
Yeah.
And all the social films for each of the tele ads. Yeah. Well, what was then? It was mind boggling. I don't really know I'm alive, to be honest. And then it's about trying to keep a standard in that. It's,
well,
it's tough.
Let's bring a little nugget to the table.
Yeah.
Oh,
very good.
This is 10 minutes, right? Yeah, we need some motor a bit. This is a super sweet ad. It's just a
McNugget.
Thank you. With a bit of ketchup on it. And there's a sort of like the time graph. Pete, tell us about this.
Yeah, I just liked it. It was a very simple idea by a young creative. And unfortunately, it's so long ago, a lovely Swedish girl, and I can't remember a flipping name. But
that's all right.
I was left to art direct it.
Yeah.
And really, the simple idea was, you know, it's just McNuggets. Everyone loves McNuggets. And, you know, time spent eating McNuggets, time spent thinking about McNuggets. So that's the key to the graph. And then on the thing, and it's just really sweet, and it ran everywhere. It was lovely. I put it in there because I actually really love the ad.
Yeah.
There's nothing to hate.
No.
And it's really charming.
And there's you took the logo off. I did take
the logo off because it says McNuggets in the line, TM. I thought, well, there you go. It ran with the logo, a big one.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going.
Yep.
I remember, so this is called Iconic Stacks.
Yes.
I remember seeing this, Christ, really long time ago.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. It's words. I'm going to just quickly say it for our readers, listeners. Bun, beef, gherkin, lettuce, sauce, bun, beef, cheese, lettuce, sauce, bun, in a stack, in the right colours. It's McDonald's. It's a Big Mac.
Yep.
Tell us how this came about. Was it because it was Andrew and James again?
It was
right?
Andrew. Yeah. You know, these guys are super talented, and no wonder they're leading Lear Burnett and doing great work. And guiding it, absolutely they should be. Fantastic team.
Mm.
And I mean, again, I talked about that creative ambition thing. We'd have a set of work, and that year, which was a year or two before, maybe, or a year before, and they had this, and I said, which is graphically beautiful. I think we had to make a few changes, and then it had the logo on, and I said, well, you could win an award for graphic design, but could you? I thought, well, it's if you put the logo on it, it's obviously a Big Mac.
Yeah.
And then, well, how about if we do it without the logo? And then you go, there's something to sort of get.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I said, well, let's give it a go. The clients love us. They're in a good space. Who knows? And yeah, lo and behold, we did. And it's one of those ones where we get back to the icon, the BA. I don't want to go on about BA, but you know, there is a reward in there, but it's not much. But it's basically, if you can, in a set of words, not show a picture of the brand, but actually you know what it is, it's kind of amplifying that message, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you could say, well, what do I learn from that, Pete? Because you said you need to learn something. I go, well, no, it's confidence, it's brand confidence and charm, I think. And that's why.
Who was the typographer on it? Do you know?
Ooh.
Because some art directors are so good, they are the typographer.
Jim basically set that, and then I think we got it into design, and Phil
It's beautifully done. It's
Billin, the head of design at Leo's at the time, did it. But yeah, three brands: muffin, egg, sausage, you know,
yeah,
etc. Fish, cheese. But
I mean, there's no other brand that could. That's the other thing. No other brand could do that.
So that's why that logo-less thing, you know. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, then it's like, do you need to do that? Anyways, next.
Next one, and I'm going to sort of pass the floor over to both of you because this is where Grand Visual meet Pete Hayes again and Leah Burnett and Phil and Darren. So it's C111. It's the Think Bubble as people walk past. Yeah. I fucking love this. It's just got all the things I love about advertising. Yeah. You know, the product's big and, you know, can't miss it, but it's got a great idea. It's tech for creativity's sake. It was written off the back of... I spoke to Darren about this last night and he was saying he said you'd written some really nice TV.
Yeah.
And then this was off the back
of that. Yeah, Matt and I wrote the campaign. In fact, that campaign was inspired by that TBWA poster because it was sitting on the table and Matt and I were going, fucking hell, that's our first big brief for McDonald's. We've got to write something good. And we sort of went, well, I just want one. And he said, well, isn't that C111 then? If you see it, you want it. And he goes, right. There's the idea. That was the line, C111. And then we wrote scripts about that. There, and then, yeah, right. Phil and Darren got involved, which was great because they're uber, super, mega talented, brilliant. Anything they ever do that you bring to you go, oh, thank God you've done something amazing because that's what they're, I can't praise them enough.
Yeah, they like you a lot.
Can you send me the money, healing. Yeah. And this idea, it's like the start of the union between outdoor and tech.
Yeah.
Very basic, probably looking now. But, you know, it had a person tracker on it, so when you walk past
I remember the initial conversation and they said, look, we've got fuck all money.
Humble guys.
But we really want to do something out of the ordinary and like, okay, let's have a look at the idea. And they had what you can see there as the still.
Yeah.
They had that as a scamp in the book. And I said, we can definitely do that. And they went, well, how are you going to do it? And I said, well, you've got two options. We can fill the place with cameras and track people's position, X, Y, Z coordinates, and we can then track the thought bubbles to people walking past with facial recognition.
Mm.
Or I can build it so I've got a PlayStation controller and someone sitting opposite and move the thought bubble with it.
Is that how you did it?
Yeah.
Little did I know.
So, and that fundamentally came down to time and money. And so there's always, going back to what you just said there, Hugh, about technology for creativity's sake, what was the reason for doing it? So that we could track people, right? Yeah. And we captured the video and it got sent out. That was part of the submission for awards. That was part of the social film that they put out.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be, the story wasn't 50 cameras on there tracking people's faces. The story was the thought bubble.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that was with effectively connecting this to a games engine.
You're quite good, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, not bad.
Very, very good.
Yeah, don't encourage him.
No, encourage him.
So we're going to moving on.
He wants to move on quickly.
No. I said it.
Well, we can do too much McDonald's. I'm totally aware of that because it sort of.
Yeah, you can never have enough good work.
So, Phil and Darren again.
So this is called search, isn't it? So you type in a search term.
2019.
Well done.
This was.
And was this. So my question on the brief.
There's a reason I know that because I'm going to show you something else in a minute.
Okay. Oh my God. did the brief say use, you know, tech, internet, blah blah blah? Or
no.
Did the chaps come up?
No, it was a brief that we'd always have in for brand, basically. Right. So this what you're seeing is brand campaigns for products. You know, they now call it the
Icons
range, yeah. Which you know, I it's my age. I kind of go, hold
the
on a minute.
Top five things on the menu, effectively.
I think the Big Mac's an icon, but I always used to have arguments with planners going, guy, mate, a cheeseburger is not iconic. It's 99p. The Chrysler building is an iconic. Yeah. And I think a Big Mac is, but and there's the logo, but I don't think a cheeseburger is. Anyways, my point being it was brand and, it was just celebrating the brand and it's different aspects of it, which I used to know a very good list of them, which I've now forgotten, but it would be, you know, iconic status in society, commonly known globally. There were threads that you could go on that basically was just celebrating it as a product.
We've got Big Mac and then Big Bang. Big French fries, French kiss.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a game of blankety blankets.
There's a Christmas.
Chicken McNuggets. Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So McDonald's products on a search bar would come in more important than very big things in life. So we even had, I think they did one for beef, something I can't remember, and it was the Beatles and, you know, so it was just like, all right, Big Mac is more, it had to be BI, that, you know, it's rigorously done. Yeah. CHI, not the agency chicken. And then CHR would come afterwards in alphabetical order. I don't know. It was just, it's more important than Christmas. It's more important than, you know, obviously they wrote God. And we can't do God, guys. Mm. We don't do religion in McDonald's advertising. And all this. So,
or politics.
But that idea turned up like that, right? Probably as a scam, if not mocked up. Really? Phil and Darren, I mean, they're now either thanking me or just getting really embarrassed. I keep mentioning their names,
I'll jump on that one. So I remember me and Adam, say we're a junior team at JWT, and me and Adam said, don't ever bring anything in you don't want to make, right? So, you know, because teams come in with like, fucking, I don't know, 50 ideas, and you're going, this is all, So then they'd often come in with one piece of paper and you go, oh, for fuck's sake. And then it was always gold.
Yeah.
That bit of paper. Right down to every time I've worked with them since. So I was pitching for Tui at TBWA, and they said, and I said, can we get him in?
Yeah.
And then makes your job just so much easier.
But I think the fundamental rule of that is, and I think if people could apply it more, I think they should, because there's in very much that churn, we're very conscious of that. And as looking through everyone's work now and trying to avoid them to be drawn into that thing where we just need scripts. You know, you don't just need scripts, you want one good one. And, you know, and really the harshness of that is interrogate your work and really fucking ask yourself, do I want to make it? Because if you don't want to make it, don't write it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because someone else might write it up and they'll have to make it.
Yeah.
But one thing, you're not doing yourself any favours by filling the gap with something that's average.
Yeah.
If you want to progress in your career.
Yeah, because it'll only become even more average, because they'll be knocking whatever sort of...
You've got to be strong as a creative team or a creative. You're independent of yourself.
Before we move on to the last one, there. The reason I know this is 2019. It was the first year Grand Visual were doing, or the second year Grand Visual were doing this long term position on dynamic digital out of home with McDonald's.
Yeah.
So their entire digital out of home plan for the year was laid down in advance, and we had a system that allowed it to react to different things in the media. So it could be news, weather, anything like that.
Yeah.
So in the May of 2019, this campaign was out, the search campaign was out, and Tommy Robinson had just been attacked with a strawberry milkshake in the streets of Bury. And we mocked up.
Here we go.
We mocked up this with a strawberry milkshake, and it said "Stop Fascists" underneath it. And we said, "Hey, quickly! We could replace everything on the D6s with the milkshake and the Stop Fascists, because we had the function to do it." And it went all the way up through the chain to everyone. And someone at McDonald's went, "Fuck no, we can't do that."
I think it probably ended up on my desk. You're fucking kidding. We don't do politics, God, or anything. Yeah. But I think that there was a rule about, you know, this very, you know, big corporation with big, smart.
They didn't want their.
Well, they were zero tolerant of complaints. You know, McDonald's. They didn't want to attract, because, you know, the brand has contentious issues.
Yeah.
And they're very, very measured about that in a really smart way.
Yeah.
So they never wanted to court controversy, which was just another rev limiter on creative work sometimes, you know.
So we're going to finish.
In the modern world, we would have mocked that up on a billboard and put it out anyway. But
yeah. And get some social.
It ran, give us an award.
Yeah. Put it under that bridge that everyone else does.
Can I have a pay rise?
Yeah, on that bridge one, yeah.
We're going to finish on another quickie, but it's the weather forecast.
Which was part of that same mechanic. The reason I said it brought into this, we'd built this whole system so that it could be reactive. Mm. Yeah.
So it's like the weather told through the graphic icons.
Yeah.
Do you recall this?
I very much recall it.
Yes.
I think it was an idea that was brilliant. And it had limitations. I don't think they were because of Grand Vision. And I think it was the scale and the spend limited it. I think we had a lot of ambition for it to actually own weather forecasts. And basically, in the summer, you know, we sold it in as, you know, you can feed products to people. It's basically a product suggestion.
It went to two sites in the end.
And it had loads of scale. And we were really, really excited about it. And it really, in truth...
Where is that one, Pete, we're looking at?
That's Liverpool.
I thought it was Liverpool.
Yeah. Lime Street.
I did an apprentice.
Well, there's no hubcaps on the taxis.
Okay, moving on. So we're going to finish.
Can you set that out?
We've done that. Don't worry, No. Favourite
we're
billboard.
We're going to get cancelled by the Liverpool girls now.
My wife's from Liverpool.
Yeah. We've got three favourite posters. Sampras?
Yeah, sorry. Probably, how many pods have you done now?
100 nearly.
Okay,
you're 98.
I'm not 98. I'm 55 in November. Saturday, actually.
Pathetic,
wasn't it? I imagine two-thirds of your people have maybe brought this poster up. It's so fucking good, and it stays with me. I haven't really pushed the boundaries out on posters. I've put a few interesting bits in. It didn't need Advantage Sampras, and in your no logo world, if you want to say, these days it would be re-art directed, so you'd shoot Sampras with the Nike logos on his sleeve and it would need the logo.
Yeah.
Then you'd ask yourself, was it better with the logo or without? And you'd probably go, just have the Nike logo in it. It's fucking brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that image stays with me as pure outdoor visual.
Did you listen to the, I don't know if you heard the Tiger Savage story?
Yeah.
About that they never met him. It was a studio.
Cardboard
cutout. And that's on a bit of fishing wire. And I all of
Isn't that brilliant?
Thought, yeah. But I always thought, oh, they went over to Palm Springs and did it. And she said,
it had the grain, it had the authenticity.
It's fucking good.
It had the grain to hide the.
Yeah.
It was a clever way of hiding the thing.
Now we've got a bit of. Talk us through these ones, Pete.
Yeah. So I think I said to you, Hugh, I think, or both of you actually, an email, beg your pardon, is I kind of had three categories of posters. I had the sort of. So the Sampras fits into the visual iconic.
Yes.
Graphic. An image really so well executed, you can't ignore it, and you go, bloody hell, have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
And then this page is headlines, really, where I just thought, and it's really weird. It's just a poster I've always talked about with people. No one's seen it, but when I saw it on the tube, it was like a six sheet or four sheet, whatever they used to call the Tango Cherry. It was just like, don't slag it off till you've tried it. Then slag it off. And it's just such a brilliant fucking human truth about cherry and cherry coke. You know, they probably started by putting the top headline on, don't slag it off till you've tried it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then someone genius in the agency went, then slag it off,
it must
which
be
made the ad sparkle. I think it was Jim Bolton. I think I found it. He found it somewhere.
Do you remember the Tango one, a drink at the Euro?
Yes.
It's nothing really good. Sorry,
and just got a whole tone of voice.
And then you got your Marmite, two lovely.
And Marmite, you know, Rich and Andy, we've talked about Marmite, but I just love this. I was actually at the agency, Matt and I were at there when they did this. It was basically, do you remember those posters that rotated?
Yeah. Tri-visions.
So they did So they did this as a long tri-vision. I think it was in Chelsea, but I might be wrong. And so he had it on one line. So it would just say, honk if you eat Marmite. And then they would switch and go, you'll honk if you eat Marmite. So obviously the genius is one word change, same word to say the opposite. And that's fucking good writing.
Yeah.
And that's also charm, wit. Honk is a hilarious word to use on any level, like saying pump.
Because also it's got that thing that Dave Dye says, if you can, they've sort of taken the product and put my mate on it, and then I hate it's just as so that's brilliant. It's distilled.
It's just brilliant writing. It's smart.
And then there's the last poster.
Well, you know, I have been working with Ewan Paterson, and I saw in his house the photograph of this, and it reminded me of the advert, and I went, I'd forgotten how fucking good that poster is.
Mm. It's the
but Carl Lewis, it's still in stilettos. And power is nothing without control. I mean,
custom-made stilettos.
Thank you. So I've gone a bit old school, I'm afraid.
Leibovitz.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was Annie Leibovitz.
Imagine that, saying, like, you know, you go, he'll never do it. Don't ask. If you don't ask, don't get.
Yeah, but I mean...
No, it's brilliant, mate.
But that for me, just so you know, is a campaign idea line and a visual as well, so...
Mm. Pete, amazing. We've done it. I can't believe we've done
it.
We didn't do any football.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Well,
you shut me down straight away when I started talking about.
Well, no, but now we're nearly above you. Yeah, like 17.
You will definitely finish above us. Wish it.
United for Europe. not
that year.
I'm in.
Pete, it's been brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah,
the story's a race. I wish we could talk more. We'll have a pint next time.
We will. I'm sorry I speak so much, but
I do enjoy it, and it's been
really lovely. And great. Please, everyone, write some more brilliant work.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All the best.
That was very good, wasn't it?
That was really good. It's really nice.
Yeah. I thought at one point we weren't going to have time because I was thinking we've got to mention all of the campaigns from McDonald's, but it was good. I mean, there's quite a lot of no logo stuff, which is good. We like that.
He's not a fan of the new BA ad, is he?
No, it's good though. It's a good thought. It's a good thought provoker, isn't it? The debate we've just had. You know, because you kind of go, well, it just go on and on. But I think between us, we kind of, And the thing with Hermeti, when he started talking, reminding us about silk cuts.
Yeah, there's loads.
That, you know, it's
been up, when it's there were restrictions in place for cigarette advertising, couldn't show a logo, there's, you know, I don't know, it's a... You can see it from both sides, can't you? You can see how if it was standalone, would you do it? If it's not, is it maybe because it's on the back of two other amazing campaigns that we talked about?
Yeah,
well, I still like the work.
Yeah, no, I like
the thing is, you hold that up. You know, again, we're talking about what's in the top 10% of outdoor rather than what's in the bottom 90%. You know, our friends at Super Optimal would test that and it would test perfectly.
Yeah,
you know, whereas, as we talk about all the time, there's 90% of the stuff that we're seeing out there that would test really poorly. So we should be, you know, we definitely shouldn't be chastising the likes of BA for doing this.
No, I mean,
this work. We should be looking at what else is out there and going, that Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive fan of it. And for me, it doesn't look like anything else out there. And that is why it's good, because your first rule of advertising is stop someone. And if you don't stop them, everything else is irrelevant.
So on that note, have you seen all this Ricky Gervais stuff as well?
No.
So
Ricky Gervais, his vodka?
Well, yeah.
But they've adapted it.
Well, and then the stuff he tried to put out there for and which was rejected by either.
But that's quite old, isn't it? That's quite old news.
I think it's the resurgence of that is there because one of them was Welcome to London, Don't Forget Your Stab Vest.
Right. Okay.
And the very next day, some people were hurt on the train.
Right.
Which is horrible, obviously. Yeah. But it's quite interesting. It's promoting debate about if outdoor is a real medium, talking about real issues.
Yes.
Should it be censored in such a way by either landlords or standards?
That's interesting. I mean, you've talked about the trusting of outdoor.
Yeah.
It's the most trusted medium.
As a messaging medium, yeah.
Because remind me again why that is. Because
it's real. I think it's real. Because it's in the real world. It's in the public domain. It's not. It doesn't feel like, you know, while it is a broadcast medium, it's not. It's you're putting something into the public. You're not choosing to tune into that channel. Yeah, you're not choosing to go onto that website. Yeah. You're putting it in the real world.
And also, you can't skip it. So it is always there. So you kind of think this has a permanence to it.
Yeah, but that's the responsibility that we have as advertising professionals, to make sure that it is appropriate. And that I guess there is a sense that happens at brand level as well as at landlord level. The debate is rife online at the moment. It's good and it's nice to be.
Long may it continue.
Nice to be involved in it. But on that, on our sponsors, what have we been posting on
Ooh, That's Nice.
With our friends at View to Fill.
Yeah, we've been doing lots of great stuff lately. There was stuff from SWR, Southwest Railways, you know, about fare dodgers.
Oh, from our friends lovely.
At St. Luke's. Rich, Denny and the gang. So that's Phil and Darren did the latest one. It's really nice.
Yep.
There's been all sorts. What else has there been? There's been stuff from IKEA.
I like IKEA stuff.
Yeah. Two different campaigns. One about Halloween and one about just life. There's our friend Rory McKentry.
Yeah.
I can't say his name properly. About his homemade billboard.
Yeah, I love that, Rory. Thank you for sending that in. Yeah. We really do appreciate it.
The world's heaviest billboard. Is it? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. That needs to be quantified. Guinness World Record needs to be there and to weigh that shit.
Yeah. But and then the usual suspects like Tesco still just chucking out great stuff. I mean, you know, we have a huge amount of work now coming
in. And lots of stuff coming in. Yeah. Do continue. Go to our website and submit a form if you want to send us stuff, because it goes straight into our inboxes and we love reading it. So do keep.
Yeah. Or DM us on Instagram, LinkedIn. We check our
social media manager
our social media manager is so on top of this work. It's incredible how he manages to do that and be a husband and a father and a friend.
Yeah, he is incredible.
Yeah.
And he makes amazing flapjacks as well.
He's also a bit of a prick. Right. On that.
Well, we need to hear from our other sponsors, and please do not tune off right now. We have to hear from our other sponsors. It is what keeps us on air. So please do listen into their messages, which are recorded by yours truly.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hey mate, do you know what I really love about outdoor? Is that, I think Hegarty's actually said it as well, but you can't swipe it, you know, you can't skip it. It's there, and when it's done well, the impact, it just speaks for itself. It's like, it's unavoidable.
Yeah, and Bauer Media get that. Bauer Media Outdoor get that. Sure, they've got the scale, they've got 33,000 sites across the UK, but
whoa.
Yeah, it's a lot. But what's great is how they can actually help brands utilize the space properly.
Yeah, and I think I'm right in saying they've got tons of advice on how to craft powerful posters, you know, making sure your designs are not just seen but remembered. There's the four S's thing, which I think is brilliant.
I mean, that's why we're so lucky that they sponsor this episode of Behind the Billboard. So,
yeah,
you know, get in touch with Baumedia Outdoor if you want help with your powerful posters. They are one of the UK's largest out-of-home media owners. The Billboard at the End of My Street is brought to you by Superoptimal, design intelligence for out of home. Superoptimal delivers simple, machine-driven analysis and actionable insights for reviewing and improving out of home ad design. Designers and media teams can quickly analyze billboard and poster designs, gain optimization feedback, and deliver out of home design that is fit for purpose. Test and learn. Make informed design decisions and elevate your out-of-home campaigns at superoptimal.ai.
Ooh, That's Nice is brought to you by View to Fill, the out-of-home campaign photography and video experts. View to Fill have spent a decade mastering the art of out-of-home campaign capture. They know how these campaigns run: adaptive display schedules, dynamic creatives, and high expectations. That's why brands trust them to deliver stunning photography and next-level videography. From drones to time-lapse and motion capture, View to Fill turn your campaign into powerful content that lives far beyond the humble billboard. Because out-of-home campaigns are not just about being seen, it's about being remembered and creating a legacy. Want to future-proof your next campaign? Visit View to Fill to capture the essence of your campaign. Our music is sponsored by Gas Music, delivering sound, music, and magic.
You can speak now, here.
You see, because I normally have it in front of me. I've just lost my track.
Have you lost it?
Of what?
You like to have the little timeline thing, don't you?
No.
Because your whole life runs on this timeline.
You're fucking looking at me and I'm going, is that it?
It's your turn to speak.
Right, okay.
We're at the point now where we've done everything we needed to do and we can just say goodbye to our listener.
Okay, bye, Dan.
The last person who's still listening.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah, someone turn the lights off quick.
Right.
Shut them up.